Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies of the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
My impression this time, was that all right?
Yeah,
was
you're getting good? Better,
okay,
man.
Good. All right, we'll get there. We'll get enough time. I'll get there.
I feel like, you know, we talked about cult action movies. We talk about 80s and 90s. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this fits the bill. But like we might have said earlier, I also feel like I have seen this movie somehow more than I've seen Conan the Barbarian. Because I feel like just TBS or whoever played it more often.
Yeah, I agree.
Or maybe they only had the rights to this one or something.
Yeah, I agree completely. I've definitely seen Destroyer more than I've seen Barbarian, even though... The first one is
a huge disparity.
Movie. Yeah.
It might have to do also with the fact that this one is more lends itself to a TV edit because it's a PG movie.
That's definitely part
versus
of it.
Versus something that's like, well, this is more violent and nudity and just so much more editing required to make it safe for TV, at least back in the day.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't know if that's true or not, but we can go with that.
We'll just run with it. Yeah. Either way, at the end of the day, there was a period of time where if someone asked me to describe a scene from Conan the Barbarian, I would probably actually describe a scene from Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know. I feel like Conan, the original, had more iconic shit like the Wheel of Pain.
Yep.
Everyone remembers the Tree of Woe.
Yep.
When he's like crucified and he fucking like bites that buzzard or whatever, kills it with his mouth.
That was amazing. I mean, and then just that epic transformation of
James Earl Jones
into the snake. Oh,
hell
my God.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's wild shit. I remember being the stew, human bits in it.
So many
hands
good
and heads and shit.
Yeah.
That movie and this movie and all these Barbarian movies apparently they're set during this fictitious period of time called the Hyborian Age.
Hyborian Age, okay.
Which is supposedly like between 30,000 and 10,000 BC.
Okay.
Like it's the very end of prehistoric times.
Okay.
So like there's no record of this, but this
all
is
been
like
handed down through oral tradition.
Of course, of course. We don't have a clue where in the world this is supposed to be happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In my mind, it's always seems like it's Mongolia or something like that. Do you have like theories on where it would be in the world?
I've always sort of, given the nature of how the mythology is structured and the nature of the gods, I always pictured it somewhere in the realm of like where Ur was or where Sumeria was or Babylon.
Yeah.
So sort of the Mesopotamia region. That's where I always put it.
Well, and if Conan is indeed meant to be a Sumerian, not a
Sumerian versus a Cimmerian, which we talked about in a previous
Cimmerian,
episode. Cimmerian.
Then,
right.
And if he's still in his own land, then that's like present day Turkey.
Turkey, okay.
Or something like Persia.
All right, okay.
So
okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but they also talk about like Atlantis and shit, like as if it's real. So I feel like it's that era of like, oh, there's these lost cities, these great cities that used to be, but there's no trace of them anymore
type of thing. Yeah. I can't, what is it that I forgot to mention the opening, the first episode, but with the intro monologue was like the ocean drank Atlantis.
Yeah. I like that.
What a good line.
That's nice.
So
right?
good. So good.
It's your duty to try to recap what's going on in this plot,
man, it's
such as it is.
Such a complicated movie.
face off, this is not.
Ooh, this is not. Well, the movie opens with a bunch of black-clad soldiers attacking Conan and his buddy Malik. They overwhelm them after killing multiple soldiers, and one of the characters takes off her mask, reveals it's the queen, Tamira.
Yeah.
Who says
something?
Yeah. Oh,
Tamaris.
Okay. Hold on.
I don't know.
It's Taramis.
Taramis. Taramis. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's Taramis.
The queen. The evil queen.
The evil queen. Let's just go with the evil queen. And she's like, hey, I can bring your love from the first movie back to life if you help me out. So Conan goes back to her castle without asking any further questions. And apparently the queen has got a daughter, Princess Jenna, who has a birthmark that's never addressed again.
Sure.
Who can apparently pick up a magical MacGuffin that she has to go get. So they can go get a second MacGuffin for reasons that are not really all that clearly defined.
It sort of seems like the princess or whatever, she's the one who's meant to be, you know, the queen or something like
exactly.
that. Right?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, well, I can use her to further my own agenda.
And it seems like that's what the queen's like motivations are. Anyway, so there's a secret plot after Conan departs with Jenna, Princess Jenna, and her bodyguard Bombata on this quest.
Whose job it is to make sure she doesn't fuck anyone.
Nope. The chastity is paramount amongst all
of his responsibilities.
There
should have been a chastity belt in this. That's like a weird old thing.
Great trope. They should have definitely done with that. So they start going on this quest. The quest apparently only goes about, I don't know, 6 miles from the castle because we keep cutting back to these like armored troops that are chasing after Conan and immediately catching up with him. A magical wizard captures Jenna. Takes her to the castle.
Okay.
Conan and Malik and
the wizard
Zula,
Akira.
In Wizard Akira and Bombata, they've all been camping at the shores of the castle, the Crystal Castle on the lake. After Jenna's been captured, they get in a boat that's horribly green screened and they head towards the castle. I feel like I could have done better given how simple that was.
That works.
Okay. All right. I apologize to everybody.
Look, we're doing our best here, listeners. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
So now, okay, yeah. Conan, Bombata, Akira, Malik, Zula.
Zula.
They're rowing through this heavy mist to the gate at the castle. The effects are still shitty. They find that it's like sealed up or whatever. Conan asks Akira, is there another way in? Akira does some quick computing, it seems like some magical computing, and says, yeah, there's a way in underwater right beneath where we are. It's like, that's some strange wizardry, man. Is that how that shit works?
I'm
like,
pretty sure. Yeah, no.
I just press my fingers together and make a loud. Like,
I did research. Like,
yeah, there's a gate.
Yeah. And Dino De Laurentiis said officially that this is how all magic works.
So now Malik, he's the chicken sort of scaredy cat comic relief character. He's once again hesitant to go along while all the others are jumping in the water. These like horribly awkward dives.
Oh my God. So amazing.
Just belly flop after belly flop in the water. He reluctantly follows. He's like, they need me. And then he jumps in fully clothed in the water, which I can't imagine anything worse than you wearing like leather and fur and jumping in the water.
It's a recipe for drowning if ever there was one.
Yeah, so Conan, he's leading the way, swimming and swimming until he finds this staircase that leads up out of the water. They had a full-on like underwater unit on the movie because they had the underwater photography, and I'm like, that's money that could have been better used elsewhere.
I mean, in a movie like this too, it would have actually been like way better if it was one of those fake ones where they're pretending to be underwater.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then just in post, they put like a blue-green filter on it.
For sure. So Conan emerges from out of the water. He draws his sword, followed by the others. There was this weird sort of musical cue when Zula came out and shook her ass. And it was like a xylophone, like, whatever. It was odd.
Right. Yeah. So
now they start their way up this staircase. Elsewhere we see Jenna, she's still sleeping comfortably on that fucking Cindy Crawford home collection, like bedding or whatever that the wizard had there.
Wizard bedrooms by Target.
Exactly. So Conan and his squad, they're climbing and climbing and climbing up this like steep spiral staircase that's like going around this huge stone column or something like that. Mm-hmm. Malik, he slips and he falls, but Akira catches him. It was, that's some fucking intense cardio, man.
Oh my God.
Like this endless spiral staircase that they're on.
Also a great effect shot.
These matte paintings are nuts.
So good. I know.
Especially the one where there was like it was like a double effect. There was like some live action happening on the right side of the frame. Yep. And then on the left side of the frame, there's also some live action.
Yep.
And I reckon that everything in the center was like a matte painting or something like that.
Either way, they sell it perfectly. You completely believe this is happening.
Yeah, dude, it looked great.
Yeah.
So now they reach a large door. Conan and Babata, they muscle the shit open. It seems like it's gotten very cold.
Yeah,
wherever they are, that's the bit where there's like steam coming out of his mouth, but it looks more like he just like took a like a bong rip or something.
They had dry ice in their mouth.
Oh, they put dry ice in the mouth.
They actually created these like metal meshes,
so it didn't actually touch
It didn't actually touch you, and they put the meshes in their mouth. And then put like a dry ice cube in their mouth.
Oh, shit.
And then they were told to keep their mouth closed until they had the lines to say and then speak the lines. But it looked like they were all just vaping the shit out of that, that castle.
I feel like you could have just had them take a big puff of something and then blow it out.
I agree. Like just like hit a bong and then exhale your lines, right? But no. No, apparently, according to my research,
Dude.
Yeah.
Dry ice, that seems dangerous a little bit, right?
Super dangerous.
I feel like that's toxic.
No, it'll burn the shit out of your tongue.
Is that what happens if it actually touches you?
Yeah, it just burns you. Okay. So it's just like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, apparently, like, they had these metal cages that they kept, like, it mounted them on their teeth so they could open their mouth, right? And then they would just exhale all the dry ice fumes. Yeah, it was crazy stuff.
That shit's crazy, dude.
But it definitely didn't look like breath. It looked like they were exhaling a vape. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So now, Tathamon, he sees them approaching in his crystal D20 that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
He walks over to this mirrored sort of chamber that he goes into, and a door closes, and then he vanishes. And I was reminded of like that the chamber that Superman had in Superman 2,
the one that
like takes his powers away or whatever.
That's right.
That was what the vibes I was getting. So Conan and the others, they come upon this large chamber with a big, huge jewel that's on a pedestal in the center of the room.
More of the star filter here, or the,
for sure.
Yeah.
And there's like nothing trappish about this scenario.
Definitely not a trap.
This is definitely on the level.
Definitely not a trap.
Conan, he's the first to enter, and a big glass door slams closed behind him.
Wait, are you telling me it was a trap?
Yeah, an obvious trap is obvious. So Bombada, he tries to open the door, but he can't do it. Malik then asks Akiro to open it up with some magic. Conan, meanwhile, he seems like just completely unconcerned about it as he explores the room. It's like got curtains all around. It's odd to me that Conan doesn't seem like the least bit fazed by anything that's going on,
especially given how like he's talked about how you have to fight magic with magic, and he's not
for sure. I feel like we've established that he's a little afraid of magic,
right? Exactly. Yeah,
but he's like, he's got that Conan hubris going. Fucking, he's got the power of Krom like backing him or whatever. All around Conan, the curtains start to rise and reveal these red cloaked figures in this sort of hall of mirrors type of setup that they're in. I feel like though the way that curtain raised up was very it was suspect. It was unmagical. It was like it wasn't like, mystical.
It was a stagehand.
No, it was herky jerky. Like it was like, oh, the stagehand, he's like definitely, you know, he's struggling.
I imagine a teamster with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth going, I don't get it paid enough for this.
Oh fuck, this thing's heavy. Now Akira's magic has failed to open the door. Malik fucking roasted him. He told him, go back to juggling apples. I feel like that's like the Hyborian equivalent of like telling him to go fuck himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you go back to juggling apples, wizard? So now the red cloaked figures, they step out of the mirrors. They begin to like sort of all merge together, like assimilate into one figure. I feel like that was rad effects probably for the time.
Yeah.
That it was in, that was like very complicated visual effects. Now it'd be very easy.
Easy to do now, but it nonetheless effective. Like, I mean, I have no idea what's going on in the scene. I don't know if there was some sort of like underlying mythology or justification, or if some special effects guy was like, this would be cool if we did this.
Let's do it, guys.
Let's just do it. And it works. It's cool. It's a good moment. Yeah.
So this figure, the red cloaked figure, lifts its hood off and reveals this hideous monster. This creature is credited as the character Man Ape.
What a brilliant name. I love that name.
Not Ape Man. Man Ape.
Because he's more human than monster.
There's
Kevin.
Nothing apish, though, about him either. He's no, like, this has got a leathery green.
He's green. Thing. He's got like tusks and yeah. It's really
I think it's
weird.
Still Pat Roach in the under the all the makeup. It was the look was very memorable, but very creepy.
Yeah.
Also very crappy.
Yes.
You know, like it was just a terrible mask.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, is it, I feel like even by 84 standards, this isn't great.
No.
It just looked like a rubber sort of Halloween right. mask you would get at Party City or some
right,
shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Spirit Halloween.
Yeah.
So Conan and his friends, they're watching through the door. They all start to freak out. This scene and the action sequence at the very end of the movie are really the two bits that had stuck in my memory.
Okay.
It was like him fighting Man Ape and in the very end, which we'll get to. But yeah, Conan, he swings his sword at this monster. The monster like deflects it away. He knocks Conan on the ground. There was definitely the metal on metal sound when Conan's sword hit him. Now the monster grabs Conan in a chokehold. The two get into some sort of a test of strength, like old school wrestling type thing, with Conan eventually prevails and flings the monster onto the ground. The monster gets up and charges at Conan. Conan hits him with a scoop slam. It was like fucking old school.
Straight up wrestling.
Yeah,
moves.
Hulk Hogan
oh, yeah,
shit.
Absolutely.
Now the monster then kicks Conan in the ribs a bunch of times. Begins to swing him around by his feet, which like would do no damage to a person, but no. It's a feat of strength, I suppose.
I mean, people do that to their children all the time,
yeah.
Right? So,
the monster swings Conan around again and again and again before flinging him across the room. Conan then picks up his sword. He stabs and swings at the monster, but it's useless. The blade's like passing right through him, which is weird because they were just in physical contact
right.
with each other.
It's
but
unclear.
Now the sword can't touch him.
It is unclear what the powers of this monster are.
Manape has got weird skills and magic about him, right?
Manape has powers that are contextual to whatever he needs in the moment.
Sure. Conan, he rears back for one last big swing and it accidentally breaks one of the mirrors behind him, which harms Manape. He gets this big gash across his chest.
As someone who is unbelievably clumsy, I appreciated that scene because
that's what you would do.
Once, yeah, because for once in the history of the universe, clumsiness actually reveals someone's weakness. So I was all there for it. I was bought in at this point in the fight, knowing that someone who is unbelievably clumsy can still utilize that power for good.
It's also very gruesome when this like big slash opens across his chest and everything.
This is when
like
the
that?
Makeup actually starts getting a little bit better, right? Like
yeah.
The mask is really bad, but when they start adding all the gashes and stuff, it sort of recovers a little bit.
So now elsewhere, the action seems to make Jenna like start to stir in her bed where she was sleeping. Conan breaks another mirror, which hurts the monster more. And it seems to be somehow also waking up Jenna. I don't know if there's like a correlation between a man ain't being injured and the spell on Jenna is like weakening or something like that.
I guess Dothamon only has so much magic juice and he has to like, he's spreading it a little bit too thin right now.
So then Man Ape comes and grabs Conan in a bear hug and Conan for some reason just like drops his sword. The struggle continues and Conan manages to like kick out another mirror.
Yeah.
The monster then drops Conan. He's got this big gash now across his face. This seems like a pretty bad flaw to me in Man Ape's design. I feel like mirrors getting broken like during a desperate fight in a hall of mirrors is like the most likely thing to happen. Though.
I love the idea that this fight is happening and Tothamon is going, I have made a huge mistake.
Damn it.
This looks so cool.
My one weakness was as long as no mirrors get broken in this hall of mirrors during this fight.
My architect assured me that Conan wouldn't break any mirrors.
Yeah. So Conan, he scoops his sword back up. He starts breaking out all of the mirrors. Though instead of just breaking like mirror next to mirror next to mirror, he breaks one, then runs across the room and breaks another, then runs back across the room and breaks another. It's fucking weird. Looking on, Malik tells the others, That's exactly what I would have done. Exactly. Like, great delivery from the dude. As Conan continues breaking mirrors out, the monster is like drops to its knees. It's horribly wounded. It shields itself under its cloak. I actually sort of felt bad for Manape.
He didn't ask for his weakness to be shattered.
Yeah, all this poor thing is like you're killing him with a million small cuts.
Right,
too.
Exactly. A death of a thousand cuts is the worst way to go, man.
So Conan, he finds himself, there's only two mirror panels left. He says, okay, wizard, you're behind one of them. I don't know what the fuck is going on anymore, because does it really matter which one he breaks first?
Because his friends could just like, oh shit, he could throw the sword through this mirror. We should like back up 10 feet.
He doesn't really need to throw the sword at all. No, right? He just break one and break the other. I'm wondering why his friends haven't already broken this mirror out from the other side. It's fucking weird. But so behind one of the mirrors, Conan, the friends, the whole company, they're protesting like, no, 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 because it seems like Conan is about to chuck his sword through their mirror. But then he whirls around and he flings the sword through the other mirror. Throwing your sword away seems really reckless as well.
Also, yeah, so, bad idea.
Now, but the wizard Tathamon, he stumbles out of the room, Conan's sword coming out of his chest. He pulls the sword out of his chest. In an effect that was pretty fucking cool. Like, yeah. I don't know how they did that.
No, thing. I don't know.
Looked like, oh, this really seems like he's pulling a sword out of himself.
Yeah.
But he stumbles towards the jewel. He's reaching for it, but then he touches it. There's this loud sound of like glass shattering, and all this light beams start to shoot out of Tathamon. I guess like his dying wish was to touch the jewel this one time or something.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it left me wondering, like, how did the jewel get here in the first place if he couldn't touch it? Someone put it there, right?
These are always the conversations I want to have with the people who make these movies.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd always be disappointed. Because I feel like the answer is always like, I don't know, it just needed to happen. I think that's really the answer.
Maybe he had these heavy leather gloves that he could move it around right. with.
They'll make up some bullshit about why.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So, but his touching the jewel, it also seems to snap Jenna out of her trance. So Tathamani becomes consumed by the light and he just disappears. Jenna calls out for Bambata, who now... presumably because of the death of the wizard, is suddenly able to like, oh, now I can break this glass and we can come on through.
Wait. You can break glass? Oh, I could have done that from the beginning.
Yeah, right. Not a moment too soon, Bambata. So Bambata and Conan, they run in the direction of Jenna's cries for help. They find her. Bambata is comforting her, telling her everything's going to be all right. I have to repeat, I find it hard to believe she was 14 years old. The way she was dressed is problematic. The way the costumes they have her in
this movie
are like kinky shit. Oof,
man, I know.
Leave not a lot to the imagination.
No.
So the others, they go to examine like the monster's cloak. They whip it off and underneath it's nothing but shards of broken mirror.
Which is actually kind of cool.
That was dope as fuck.
That was super fucking
like,
cool.
Like super memorable to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Conan, Jenna, and Bambata, they re-enter. Jenna approaches the jewel on the pedestal.
So much star flare here. Oh my God, so much star
flare. Got a lot of anticipation building. Jenna picks up the jewel and then just puts it in this pouch that Bambata's got.
Yeah, boom, done. We're done.
Yeah. Now the castle begins to sort of quake and Conan yells that we got to get out of the castle quickly. It's like big, like, get to the chopper vibes. They're racing back through the bowels of the castle as the walls are all beginning to crumble. This is exactly how Red Sonja ended. By the way, it was like a castle collapsing because they had like broken the spell on the MacGuffin or whatever.
Right.
So
all of these movies have basically the same script.
Absolutely. You know, we're not breaking any new ground here.
No.
So they're racing back through the bowels of the castle. They pile into the boat. They shove off. These giant blocks are like falling all around them. As they row to safety, they watch the entire castle like sort of crumbling down into the lake.
Yeah.
Akira says, all an illusion. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
What that meant. Right. Exactly.
It, It wasn't. It was really there.
If it was an illusion, we wouldn't have had to run for our lives.
An illusion. What? Someone needed to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Someone just like, was like, all right, Akito got into the heroin again. Someone.
Right. We get some more bad composite shots, yeah, though, as they're rowing away.
I know.
So, sometime later, the company, they're back on their horses. They're riding down the road, and they're suddenly attacked by, now finally, Taramis's goons have caught up with them.
That's right.
Right.
Somehow, I don't, again, it's unclear to me how they could be chasing them so close and then still taken as long as it took for them to catch up.
So the main goon snatches Jenna off her horse and rides off. Conan's fighting one dude. Bombada is watching on with like just mild interest in everything that's happening as Jenna's like screaming for help. I feel like this is like the point in the movie in which everyone, it should be obvious, like Bombada's is mixed up in whatever the fuck is going on.
Absolutely.
Right now. So Zula, she races to help. Bombada sort of seems like probably intentionally like crashes his horse into her horse. They fall off, whatever. It's a decent stunt, though. Yeah. Like, that seems dangerous to do.
Again, like those poor horses.
Yeah. So Conan, he kills a goon. He rides off after the attacker that had taken Jenna. Malik kills a dude with his patented move, which is jump on the horse behind him and start like stabbing him in his
kidneys.
Get those kidneys. Zula, she killed the final one with a flourish, and she did that great like snarl face after she.
Right. Oh my god.
Fucking Grace Jones had just like a look.
Yeah.
You know, she had a lot of on-screen presence.
Oh yeah.
So Conan catches up with the other rider who had taken Jenna to this like amazing, like alpine clearing sort of set. I don't know if this was a real location or an effect shot or what, but it was the most stunning visual in the whole movie was this location with all the mist and the trees and everything like that. The attacker lets Jenna go so he can focus his attention on Conan and his fucking Sven Ole Thorsen.
Yeah.
Conan's boy. I think the third and final actor that has appeared in both the Conan movies.
That's the one.
He's got, I could have recognized him just from those dreamy eyes that he's got. But yeah, him and Mako and Arnold are like the three dudes who have been in both Conan flicks. So the two dudes ride at each other. They clash swords. Jenna's like watching on. They do this a couple more times. Then they start close quarters battling with each other, fighting on horseback. They become like locked in this battle of strength thing where they got each other's arms and they're wrestling around or whatever. They both fall off the horses. Conan pops up, starts like hitting some bodybuilding poses, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
It was like a flex off between the two.
Oh my God.
They both kept changing positions, like flexing the muscles and everything like that.
That's amazing.
Yes, this flex off between these two muscle men. So now the two huge men, they clash blades, epic battle. Conan showing some really flashy swordsmanship.
I mean, he did practice with that sword for a while. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like Arnold must have been like training for that shit. And he's like, no, I'm gonna get my moves in.
Yeah.
So Conan and Sven Ole Thorsen become locked in this battle of strength again. And Sven Ole Thorsen kicks Conan down on the ground. He swings a sword at him, and there's a loud sound of like metal on metal as his sword hits the dirt. You know? Yeah. Fucking Foley guy was out of control in this movie. God,
I love it.
He just had those sword clash noises. Like, hit him whenever.
Queued up, ready to go.
For sure, dude. Any excuse, man. So Conan fends off this killing stroke and slices Sven Ole Thorsen across his belly. Sven goes down. Conan finishes him off, and he's standing over his vanquished foe. And at this moment, Bombada comes riding through, takes a swing at Conan with his big old mace. He knocks Conan down and swings around to come at him again. That's when Jenna runs in and is like, tells him to stop. Conan's like, what the fuck are you doing, basically?
Yeah, right.
And he's like, I thought you were going to hurt the girl.
Who was
he? He says, what? Fucking what? That's Conan's not buying the bullshit.
No.
Like, no one in this group, including Jenna, should be believing this obvious lie.
Oh, right. Exactly.
I thought you were going to hurt that girl.
Clearly, Bombada is a bad guy. I mean, we know this definitively. Everybody knows this definitively
for sure.
At this point. I thought
they could have choreographed this a little bit better to make that maybe more believable.
Right. If, like, right. Jenna had been in the midst of the conflict and he shows
if
up.
If she had come in and Conan was like, maybe she was in harm's way or
right,
something
exactly.
that made make sense, but, like, Conan just fought like this mountain of a man to save her.
It clearly.
I thought you were going to hurt. I thought you were waiting for this moment to hurt the girl.
You had to take care of the big dude before you killed my girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But
don't think about it too hard. Again, don't think about it too
the
hard.
The thing is, Conan seems to know it's a lie.
Right. He gets it. Like, I feel, yeah.
But he's still content just to let it slide. Which makes no sense to me. I don't know.
They
but,
needed the movie to keep going.
All right. We got to move on. If they fight right now, then the movie's over.
Right. Exactly. So, if you kill Mombasa now and ride off into the sunset, there's no third act.
So Conan, he points out that their attackers were the Queen's guards, right? Mm-hmm. Says, you know, he wants to know what's going on. Bombada is like, well, they weren't acting under her orders. Ain't no way he could even know that.
How?
That's the thing. Like, even look, even if we were assume that's true, how would you know that?
You've been with us the whole time, dog.
How could you know what?
Right.
Other than, like, I guess I know that I've known the Queen. She would never do this sort of thing.
But still, that's just circumstantial.
Yeah, no, it's bullshit to me. So Jenna, though, the princess, she's also just way too ready to just accept this. Okay. She goes over and she clings on to Bombada. And I guess, though, I don't know, he's been like her protector his whole life or her whole life.
We could rationalize the shit out of this. At the end of the day, it happened because the movie needed it to happen.
That happened because we got to move forward. But I feel like they've made it painfully obvious, though, that he's a bad, not to be trusted at the very least.
If
right?
there were any doubt up to this point, it has been completely absolved. I mean, resolved. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. that brings us to the end of another chapter, man. This movie keeps it moving.
It does. There is not a down moment, which I love. I love that it is always one thing after another.
A movie like this is exactly how it should be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, we don't give us too much time to think about this shit.
Right, exactly. I don't want to, like, do a 10-minute, like, flashback sequence re-examining Conan's growth in the Circle of Pain. Like,
yeah,
I don't
no,
need any
yeah.
of that nonsense, you know?
And I watched the first Conan with someone recently who had never ever seen it.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, boy, this movie, though, the pacing of the movie is just slow.
Mm.
Like, it's great. It's a good movie. I like it, but it's like there's long periods of time where not much is happening.
Mm, interesting.
And this one just keeps it moving. That's how we turned into this 90-minute movie or whatever, though, instead of like a 2-hour plus.
I just love the idea of an editor sitting in an editing meeting going, conversation, we don't need that. And just
how
cutting
short, it. How short can we make this?
It was like a challenge. It was a challenge yeah. for him or her to see how short they could get it down.
If we cut out all the sex.
If we get it PG, there's not much left.
Yeah. But that'll wrap us up for this week, listeners. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again.
Yes.
There's still more Conan to talk about.
Oh, my God. At least 2 more episodes. We might just do a 6th episode for fun. Who
at
knows?
Least 2 more episodes. So thank you all for checking in. And until next time, we'll be back.
We'll be back.